I can tell I'm all out of sorts this morning. It's right there. Found it. I don't have a lot. I'm not hyper organized. I know that doesn't shock a lot of you. There's a few things that dry. The doors cracked on the platform drive me batty. I don't know why. You know, we had a professor in seminary that we had the blinds in the back of the classroom and we would open them at different heights. And he couldn't do it. And so he would stop class to get them all sick. Father, I am broken. We all are broken. Sin has had its way and it has ravaged our lives. Pastor Randy preached Ephesians 2, but we were dead in our transgressions. But God, you made us alive in Christ Jesus. Because of your great love, because of your great grace, because of your great glory, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. Father, today remind us of who we are in Christ Jesus. Remind us of the hope that we have in Him. Lord, we give thanks today for who you are and what you've done. Lord, as I speak, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, my rock, my Redeemer. Amen. I want to start today by saying thank you for all who've sent us cards and notes. We are grateful for the support of the body of Christ in this very difficult time for us. I'm so grateful for the staff here at Grace Church. It has been a blessing to know that even in my absence, the work of the ministry has gone forward, and I'm so grateful for my staff and how amazing they are. For those of you who may not know what has been going on in our life over the last month, this is my first Sunday at Grace this year. Let me start with last week and work backwards. Now, I'm going to start with last week, but I need to tell you it actually started back before Thanksgiving. Prior to Thanksgiving, my wife and I were talking, and we talked about going to visit our son in Monterey, California, who's in the Army at Defense Language Institute learning Arabic. I told him not to score too high on that test. Back around Thanksgiving, we purchased the tickets for the whole family, hoping this would be a time to celebrate and enjoy one another. And so this last weekend, we were in Monterey, California. We did not know how much we were going to need that trip. It was a great time. We were blessed with some great family memories and some laughter and some precious time together with all of us. Why did we need that trip so much? Well, 2019 didn't start out so well for us as a family. On the evening of January the 2nd, we received a phone call from Jenda's sister Jody that her husband Chuck had not returned from a fishing trip to the Gulf of Mexico, specifically Galveston Bay, which can have some rough water and strong currents. Search teams were called out, the Coast Guard, the police, but no sign of Chuck could be found. By the end of that week, the search was discontinued and the realization came upon the family that Chuck was gone. when we first got that news on the evening of January the 2nd, Jenda and I both knew that we needed to go to Houston as quickly as possible in order to be with family. So after making some quick arrangements, we flew out on Saturday, January the 5th. We got there to spend time with family and to be with them. A service was held for Chuck on Wednesday, January the 9th. Now, as a family, we had originally planned to fly back that following Sunday. We knew that more than likely when we went, by the time we flew out, that it was going to be a recovery, not a rescue. So we figured that the service would be held on Saturday. It was not, but instead of flying back Sunday, we talked about flying back sooner, but we made the decision that we needed to stay as long as possible because we needed the time with Jenda's family. Wednesday, January 9th, we had the service. On Friday of that week, Chuck's body was found. We received a confirmation of it on Saturday. So Jenda and Becca flew back on that Sunday as we had planned. They had to get back to school. They had already missed a week of school. However, I stayed a few more days because we knew that they would need some help in assisting with the funeral home and making a variety of arrangements. So I returned to Arizona on Tuesday evening, and we flew out to Monterey, California, Thursday evening of that same week. The tragic death of our brother-in-law has been difficult for us to process. But we do give thanks to the congregation for the opportunity for us to go and spend time with the family in this crisis. We do know that it's going to be a long process for our family to grieve, to heal, but that God is still good. He is still on the throne. We may not understand, but we will trust. Originally, when I had planned on being gone, I spoke with Pastor Randy, Pastor Guy, and we had arranged for some messages to be shared. One specifically when I was in Monterey, Pastor Randy preached two other sermons with minimal time for preparation. I'm so grateful for what he has done with those. They were great. Pastor Guy had actually planned on the 20th to preach about hope. And he got to preach that sermon. It was wonderful. Just what we needed. But today, as I stand before you, I want to remind you we are not the only ones with challenges in our lives. Many of you, too, are facing difficult times. Some in our congregation we know are dealing with aging parents. Fiddlesticks, some of you are dealing with aging. Me too. Children who are in rebellion, who are not walking with the Lord Jesus the way they should. Some of you are dealing with health issues and financial challenges that seem mountainous. Some of you are dealing with broken relationships. We know that there are battles with depression and despondency. We know that there is incredible emotional pain and grief, just to name a few. In fact, Pastor Guy last week spoke of some of these challenges and some of what was going on in the church. I want to follow up on that message, and I want to reiterate some of the same things this week as well as a reminder. And the first point that I want to share with you and the first thing I want to tell you today is simply this. Life is hard. I know this is not rocket science. I know some of you, when you came to church, were expecting something slightly deeper. This is my starting premise. Life is hard. I doubt I get a lot of argument from you today. Why is it that when your last child is finally out of diapers, your oldest child suddenly needs braces? I thought we were going to have so much money. Why is it that when you pay off your car and you make that last payment on your car, your refrigerator suddenly dies? Have you seen the cost of refrigerators? You have to get a payment plan. Why is it that once you get settled in your brand new house and you're excited about what's going to happen, you get transferred to North Dakota? Life is hard. It's nothing you don't know. Let me affirm it for you in the Holy Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, we are hard pressed on every side. The Apostle Paul says we are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. Just let some of that verbiage roll over you. Hard pressed on every, living life between a rock and a hard place. Perplexed. What's the plan? I don't know what to do. Persecuted, struck down. See, today I want to tell you that life is really hard. We live in a sin-sick world. Now, this is not the original design. This was not God's original plan. We did this to ourselves. Thanks, great, 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 great granddaddy, Adam. We live in a sin-sick world. Now, I need to tell you today, don't downplay the reality or the power of sin. You see, even as Christians, as evangelical Christians, after a while we begin to think that sin is not such a big deal. We begin to think that sin is not something that's that great. It is still incredibly powerful. Now we have full and final victory through Jesus Christ and the cross. Don't misunderstand me today. But life is still hard. There are some who want to preach that once you walk with the Lord, all your troubles go away. I just need to tell you today, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Anyone who stands before you and says, if you come to Jesus, your life's going to get easier and it's going to be simple and it's going to... I just want to mock them. I want to call them a fool. Would you look at the Apostle Paul's life? Would you remember that Jesus warned us that we would suffer persecution, that life would be difficult? If the world hated Jesus, guess what? They're going to hate us by association. Life is hard. Being a Christian isn't easy. If you want your life to be easy, I'd tell you, don't be a Christian. The truth is, some people want to act as though the moment you become a Christian, your life is suddenly nothing but roses and bonbons, and it's not. Now, when you're riding a horse, here's a guy who hasn't ridden a horse in a long time, talking to cowboys in Chino Valley. There's a couple things you don't want to do. You don't want to fall off one side of the horse. The other mistake you don't want to make is fall off. Don't misunderstand today. As Christians, we have God's blessing. We have the Holy Spirit empowerment. We have adoption as sons. We have a new identity in Christ. There are phenomenal blessings, but I want to remind you that life, even for us as Christians, is still hard. Don't lose sight of that. I think sometimes in our evangelical circles, we want to just focus on the perfect Facebook Christian life. That everything's always good all the time. That everything's always perfect. And, and everything is that we're afraid that if we're real with one another, people will think we're not spiritual or something. The truth is, life is hard. Sin is still our enemy. We still fight the old enemies of sin, death, the devil. We still fight our flesh. Even though the devil has been finally defeated at the cross, he's not going to go away quietly. Sin is still a struggle. You know, the truth is I have resources now as a believer in Jesus Christ that I didn't have before, but we still struggle with sin and we still struggle with its consequences in our lives. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men. Why? Because all sinned. Sin is a reality for all of us. And because of sin, death also is a consequence. None of us get out of this place alive. I know. Don't worry about my theology. If the Lord Jesus Christ should return, we're out. Okay? Got it. I just want to ask you one question. I know I'm going to annoy some of my end timers. What if Jesus waits another 150 years? I know. I'm ready. Let's go. I hear that groan. Oh. But you know what? If Jesus doesn't come back another 150 years, guess what? I probably won't be here. Probably. Max might be. Thanks for that, Cindy. That was awesome. None of us get out of here alive. We need to remember the reality of the world that we live in. We need to understand that life is hard. Sometimes life is exceedingly difficult. We're hard-pressed or perplexed. It hurts. By the way, some of you might want to come and say today, well, Pastor Wayne, my life's good. What about, I just want to say, just wait. I don't say that vindictively or in anger or... I say it as a person who's lived more than 50 years on this planet, and I've seen a lot, maybe not as much as you at 90 or 75 or 62, or maybe I've not even seen as much of you as at 38. I don't care. I don't know. I just know life is hard. But don't stop. Life is hard. But God is still greater. God is still greater than all of the struggles. God is still greater than all of the challenges. God is still greater. In fact, I did not read you that entire verse. Some of you Bible students knew that. But go back and look again. This is 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Oh, but we're not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. How is it that Paul could say that? How is it that Paul could write that? Well, he knew that life is hard. In fact, he probably went through more pain and persecution than you and I ever will understand. But the truth is, he knew that God was greater. And to prove that, I could go to passage after passage in the Scriptures. I think of David in the Psalms. How many Psalms David's crying, God, why is this happening? But have you ever noticed in the Psalms, he never ends there. Even when he cries out, God, why is this happening in my life? The final statement generally is, yet I will trust you. No matter what. Makes me think of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. When Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? For my power is made perfect in weakness. Do you feel weak and inadequate? Good. Mr. Wynn, I can't believe you just said that to me. That's so rude. I'm an American. I'm independent. I'm free. You know what? The one thing that I know in my life is that when I'm weak, He is strong. When I think I have it all together, and when I think I usually fall flat on my face, my grace is sufficient. My grace, Jesus says, is enough. My grace is enough. If you feel weak and inadequate, I just want to say, good, you are. You need Him. How about an Old Testament passage, Isaiah 41:10? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will, this is a promise, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I love that picture. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter what pain, no matter what sorrow, no matter what heartache, God is greater still. I want to tell you, our family has been clinging to that in the last several weeks. We have been driven back to our knees in a reminder that we need our dependence on God has been refreshed and restored, because honestly, I'm like a lot of people. I begin to think that I'm just doing fine, that I don't need the Lord. I do. The promise is that He will strengthen, that He will help, that He will uphold us with His righteous right hand. So life is hard. Don't forget that. But God is still greater. We may not see, we may not understand all of the reasons why. You can talk to Job about that. Don't forget that God is God and you are not. And He is in charge and you are not. And you need to trust Him that He is working good in your life. So life is hard, but God is still greater. Therefore, do not lose heart. I see a lot of people in this world who lose heart. I've watched a lot of people in the difficulties. Life is hard. Don't forget that premise. Do you know, one of the things that I've observed in this life is when people lose heart, when people begin to think that God is not enough, that when people lean on their own understanding, when people lean on their own strength, when people, they lose heart and the wheels fall off. Because God is jealous for His own glory. There is only one God, and it's not you. In the stress and difficulties of life, it is easy for us to lose heart. It is easy for us to get overwhelmed and want to give up, but we must not do that. In fact, if you were to stay in 2 Corinthians and skim down to verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, therefore, in response to everything that he said in chapter 4, all 15 verses, therefore we do not lose heart. Why? Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You know, we can see the results of sin and death around us, but our hope is in God who is greater, and it is God who is renewing us. It is our faith, it is our trust in Him that is being renewed in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God who's at will to will and work His good pleasure in our life. It's God who's doing it. The only way that we're going to survive, the only way we're not going to lose heart, is for us to be renewed day by day. Well, how am I, Pastor Wayne, I don't understand. How am I renewed day by day? I just want to ask people, how much time have you spent in the Word of God? Well, I've been too busy playing Candy Crush Saga, whatever. I don't have time for that. How can you expect to be renewed by the Word of God if you're not spitting any? Well, I listen to Radio Shine. Okay, that's a great start. There's more than that. I don't know if you know that. Thank God for Radio Shine. Don't get me wrong. Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you seeking God? Are you connecting with others? Because I want to tell you, if you are not doing those things, you will not be renewed day by day. And the implication in this passage is if you're not being renewed day by day, guess what? You're going to lose heart. You're going to give up. Don't lose heart. Be renewed. Spend time in the Word of God daily. Connect with one another. Remember that God is greater than whatever it is we're going through. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles. You know, Pastor Guy said he didn't like in the Bible when it says, count it all joy. I agree with him on that passage. But I disagree with him here. He says that's the one passage that drives him crazy. You know, Mark Twain once said, it's not the passages of the Bible that I understand, that I don't understand that bother me. It's the ones that I do understand. Here's another one of those, Pastor Guy. You might want to write this one down. For our light and light. Are you kidding? For our light and momentary. You know, I want to tell you, when you're in the midst of that pain, it is so absorbing of our attention. It is such a challenge. You feel like you can't see past the pain. It does not feel like, it feels heavy. It feels as if the weight of the world is set upon you. It feels like it is never going to. It feels like it is never going, and you become despondent. And Paul says, we need a change of mind. We need a different mindset. He says, for our light and momentary troubles. One of the challenges is we have really bad theology. I thought I was in a Bible-believing church that said, you know, we're good with our theology. I just told you have bad theology and you didn't yell at me. Because it's true. Because we agree. Some of our bad theology is that we think this life is all there is. Some of our bad theology is we begin to absorb what's on in our culture. YOLO, I've just dated myself by about 10 years. The kids said that. I'm sorry, kids, if you're here, that's not even modern. That's, you know, like so 2010. You only live once. We think, if this life is hard, if this... You may get 90 years. I want you to do this today. I want you to go home, and I want you to find if I were to draw it, I would love to. Wouldn't it be great? I just one Sunday, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get a great big Sharpie marker. I'm going to get a Sharpie marker, and I'm going to start drawing a line around the windows. I think I'd get in trouble for that. I'm going to start drawing a line all the way. I want to depict for you what eternity looks like. And then I want you to look, and on that line, I'm going to put an itty bitty little tiny dot. And I'm going to tell you that's 90 years. In the light of eternity, what we deal with in this life, Paul can say is, light and momentary. We need a perspective that takes at face value what Jesus said about having eternal life. By the way, when he told us that, he even in the Greek and the way he said it, it's a present possession. Eternal life is our present possession now, that we may have life. That this life that he's given is a life that is going to continue and to go on. I know when we say that your pain is light and momentary, it sounds simplistic and naive, and it does sound that until you begin to take on an eternal perspective. Paul is not downplaying our pain. He's seeing beyond this life. He's talking about there is an incredible weight of glory that God is working in our life. And sometimes he does that through our pain and through our suffering. But God is still greater. Don't lose heart. God is still working his purposes. God is still working his plan in your life. God is still in control. God is not surprised by any of the events of 2019. He knows. So how do we respond? Don't lose heart. How do we respond today? 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on this life, but on what is unseen, the promise of life to come. We fix our eyes on God. We fix our eyes on his word. We fix our eyes on those things that are beyond our light and momentary pain and suffering. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal and lasting. In fact, if you were to back up in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, you'd see that in 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. I love that he talks about treasure. We have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, the gift that God has given us, life, eternal adoption as sons. That's the treasure. And he says, we have this treasure and it's hidden. It's hidden in a dust bucket. It's hidden in a jar of clay. Because honestly, this jar of clay is not much. I'm not the treasure. It's what God has done in my life that's the treasure. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God at work. It's his saving grace. All of those, that's the treasure. And this treasure in jars of clay is to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. Pastor Wayne, you don't understand. I feel so weak. I can't do it. You're right. You can't. The truth is, none of us could make it through this day without God's sustaining grace in our life. We don't believe that. I think I got up this morning. I decided that I was going to. Listen, if God took all of his blessing and grace out of your life, you're not going to make it to lunch. Okay, let's get real for a minute. You're not going to make it to donuts. Why? Because it's God's sustaining grace. We don't recognize it. We don't often always see it. How do we respond? We look in the right place. We look to the Father and his love for us. We remember that this is all about him and his glory. We do not fix our eyes on what is seen. We don't fix our eyes on this pain and this struggle that we're going. We recognize that he has given us this treasure in jars of clay because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. So give thanks, worship, praise him, even in light of your momentary troubles. Is your life good? For some of you could say absolutely today, unequivocally, yes. Then I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Give thanks. If life is good right now, give thanks. When was the last time you just thanked God for blessing you? Don't you think that your dad would like to hear what a blessing happened in your life? Not only that, I want you to celebrate. Celebrate the good. That's why we come to worship, by the way. We come as a weekly reminder for us to celebrate that God is still greater. Life is hard. That hasn't changed. But God is still greater. And he has achieved the victory for us through Christ Jesus. And so we need to celebrate that. The last thing I need to tell you is if your life is good, beware. We all get our turn. We all get our turn. But if you're not prepared today and this happens, you might lose heart. I don't want that to happen. So beware. For some of you, you might say, my life's pretty hard right now. That resonates with many of us here at the church. You know, Pastor Guy shared, there's many of us, even on staff, going through some really tough times. If that's you and that's your situation today, I want to tell you this. Be renewed. Be renewed inwardly. Make sure you're spending the time in the Word. Make sure you're fixing your eyes on what is unseen, not what is seen. Be renewed in Christ Jesus. Make sure that you're doing that work of seeking Him and seeking His face and actively using your faith, actively being involved in your faith life and not just acting like a 5-minute, a 3-minute, a 30-second prayer at dinner is going to fix it. Spend time in the Word. Seek Him in prayer. Be renewed inwardly. I want to tell you as well today, don't lose heart. This may be a tough season, but God is greater still. Remember that? And the Bible tells us that our God is a God who brings beauty out of ashes. Our God is a God who delights in bringing beauty out of ashes. Our God is a God who restores the years lost to the locust. That's what the Bible says about Him. So if you're in that difficult time, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Instead, look to Jesus. Trust Him. There's an old song many years ago, contemporary Christian song. Some Christian songs drive me crazy because they have really, editing words, rotten theology. This one had some pretty good theology. When you can't see God's hand, trust His heart. What the song was talking about is in those times of life when you can't fully see what God is doing or how He's doing, if you can't see His hand at work, if you don't understand what is happening, continue to trust that His heart is good and that He is greater and He's still going to work good. I want to tell you that's where my family is this week. It's where my family is going to be next week. More than likely, that's where my family's going to be camping for quite a while. And I hope it's a permanent basis. Because the reality is, none of us get out of here alive. The reality is, life is hard. But God is greater still. And our faith and our trust is in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Our hope is in Him alone. Our faith is based on the Word of God and the promises that He has declared there, that He is working for our good even in the midst of the difficulties of life. Do you believe this today? Father, we need You. We desperately, desperately need You. Too many times in our life we think that we've got this, we've got it together. I'm good. Lord, there is nothing good in me. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's all because of His grace. So today we want to sing. We want to celebrate. We want to worship. Even those of us in the midst of our pain, because we do it as an act of faith, knowing that You are still greater than any of our light and momentary struggles. That You are using them to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So today we will trust You no matter what. We will trust You even if our life doesn't turn out the way we think it should. We will trust You even if we go through light and momentary troubles. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.